This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. The land of the work of Triple H.
Rewind to SmackDown. 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 Rewind to SmackDown.
You know, Neil, the hardest part of about these shows is running all these songs and graphics and making a... Hopefully I make sense to you with my words, because everything is on this right column, my eyes.
I'm sorry that, you know, I can step in for Way because his voice is shot, but I cannot step in any way.
No one can replace Way and all he does on this show.
When it comes to his talent for instantly pulling up the perfect picture to illustrate what you're talking about, for example, and things like that.
My job's simple. I show up, I can talk about someone that's passed away, I make a few impressions, and then I'm out. That's it. That's all I've got to do, okay? Waiting is the engine at this place. But Neil is with us tonight because Way is regaining his voice. After finding it on Tuesday during the wellness policy, it has gone missing once again. But we are hoping that he will be at full strength for full gear on Saturday night. So we wish all the best to Mr. Tang.
I think 50% of a genuine infection and 50% just emotion from the death of Optimus Prime, I think.
That's true. But we, unlike Hasbro, we are not going to just... write off Wei Ting and then bring in a brand new Wei Ting, Rodimus Ting, which has captured the imagination of all post-wrestling listeners with our latest edition of Rewind Away, looking at the Transformers movie from 1986. And thank God we had our lifeline, Sean Levine, to join us for the entire show, a gigantic follower of the Transformers franchise from the 80s right up until the present. And he was... a necessary resource on that show where I can say myself and Wei Ting a little bit out of our depth when it came to Transformers knowledge and trying to unpack the very polarizing movie from 1986. Now, Neil, was Transformers ever something that was in your wheelhouse?
In the very early stages, so I mean before Transformers, the movie in 1986. So, you know, when it first burst on the scene in 84, I was more interested in the toys, because the original toys, I think I mentioned this on the wellness policy, were very intricate pieces of engineering. Megatron was this pistol, although you got also sort of the bits and pieces to make him into a rifle. And the Optimus Prime, of course, the big red truck. But the original toys were made of sort of, partly at least, of die-cast metal. And they were indistinguishable when they're in their vehicle form, in their disguised form, from a genuine just toy truck or gun or whatever. So I was taken in by the toys, not so much the cartoon, which is pretty freely available on YouTube if anyone out there wants to search for Generation One Transformers, you can watch the first couple of episodes. But
G1,
yeah. But I was into the toys when they first came out, and then they all became very plasticky and very kind of, they all transformed in exactly the same way as well. They cut corners. But I thought Sean was great on that show, and someone in the post-wrestling Discord sort of said it was a blend of an episode of Postmarks with a an episode of Rewind Away, which I thought was a good description of the show, because we got a good insight into Sean and his super fandom of Transformers.
Yeah, he was a great guest to have on for that show that could answer all of our questions. And I had many about Transformers. So an interesting, very interesting movie to unpack. And that's available for everybody with the latest Rewind Away. And again, we are going to be back with our full gear coverage on Saturday night. Way will be joining me, and Neil will be running things on the site. So look out for all of that. Tonight, we are focused on SmackDown with 8 days to go until the Survivor Series. And they were going to Denver, Colorado, the Ball Arena, and a double taping tonight, because it is going to be both tonight's episode airing live, and then they are taping next Friday's show, which will feature the traditional Survivor Series elimination match, complete with retro graphics that they introduced on the show for this this Survivor Series elimination match that's happening next week. The latest number from WrestleTix, 11,513 tickets distributed in Denver, and we are starting things off with The Vision and Logan Paul inside of the ring after they show all the arrivals and the recap from Raw with Reigns and Lesnar showing up, not showing up in Denver, spoiler. And Heyman cuts a promo that five of your heroes will be locked in War Games and went through what each one of his men is going to do, including Bron Breakker, who will, quote, bite a piece out of their ass.
Okay.
What a promise. Reed, who is going to be not violating you to that extreme, is just going to tsunami everyone, and then introduces the scumbag that is Logan Paul, who will one day run hell.
Yeah, well, talk about damning with praise. This Logan was put over as an evil bastard, basically, which is, I suppose, fair enough.
Logan looks to his hand. It looks like he's written out his points, and he says, "I've got a lot to talk about," but is immediately cut off by the Usos. And out come Jay and Jimmy. And before they can even get going, they are told that you're outnumbered, but they didn't come alone. They brought Cody. And we cut to, while Cody's music plays, nobody comes out, and we go to outside to the Cody bus. And there, the door opens, and out comes the murderer, Drew McIntyre, who has killed this man. Cody is just left looking lifeless, falling out of this bus. And Corey Graves, ever one to jump onto the details, does note Drew was only banned from entering the building, so he's done nothing wrong other than premeditated murder here.
That's it, yeah. Graves on the case. He's never stepped foot in the arena, so this is absolutely fine.
There's no discretion that has been committed here by Drew McIntyre. He's fine to execute his plot however he sees fit. Just outside of the arena.
I love my pro wrestling angles, but this scene was comic because it was so silly. You know, that Cody is upside down on the steps of his bus with not the I've seen better makeup jobs at Halloween for the wounds that he sustained, you know, all over his face as well. And this whole 15-minute intro did get me thinking, John. I haven't really got to ask you about this, about what this might be in January on a three-hour version of SmackDown. As you noted, we start with The Vision already in the ring. I think we would have had
individual introductions for each person. They'd each get their song coming out. We would have Cody probably with like four medical updates backstage before we get this miraculous recovery.
They'd have tried to play his music to get him to come out maybe three times as well. You know,
I'm dreading it. I'm just dreading it, Neil. You and Way might be on 3 hour duty. You two sounded a lot more optimistic about this extra hour than I do. But
Way's a born optimist. He kind of talked me around, but
it's his fatal flaw. He always sees the good in everything, and I'm the realist. The U.S. Championship match, Ilya Dragunov comes out, and the challenge is accepted by J.D. McDonagh, which is very funny because later we would have a segment where Nick Aldis goes out of his way to try and explain why Bronson Reed is on the show, but therefore the Vision members can't be here. And they try to explain here that, well, JD was here to support Finn Balor, and therefore he could accept the open challenge. I wasn't even thinking if this guy was on Raw or SmackDown. They did not need to inform me at all about this, but it's just comical that they feel the need to explain these things every single week when there's Raw people all over this show. I don't even know why we're trying to explain all of this away, but that is how JD got this open championship match, by accompanying his buddy to the arena.
I mean, last week, Cole was telling us, you know, over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see quite a few Raw talent on the show. And his reasoning was,
it's War Games season.
Because War Games has Raw and SmackDown people in it.
What happens when we go into Royal Rumble season? Are the gates open too in the lead up to the Royal Rumble? Like, that's a interpromotional set of matches,
I guess.
Just WWE season? 365 days a year. Okay.
That's Riyadh season. It never ends. Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's been quite the week for relations between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. They've been all over the news. JD whips Ilya into the rope, just like face first. That sets up our commercial break. Ilya is selling throughout the break, and then Constantine's special, and Ilya gets back into it. He's got a bloody nose at this point. Michael Cole, relying on his statistics, notes that this is the first time the U.S. title has been defended in Denver since 2003, and that was done by Eddie Guerrero. And it's like, that's a long time. That's 22 years since this title was defended. Well, not to be Mr. Correction here, but it was actually a tournament final to crown the U.S. title when the WWE revived it. And I was like, why didn't they mention who Eddie Guerrero faced in that final? Who could it have been, Neil?
I think there's one option out of one.
That would probably be your correct assumption right there. But there you go. That was the last U.S. championship match in the city of Denver. But hey, they got this 22 years later. Constantine special. A second one is attempted and countered into a Spanish fly. And then JD takes both over with a vertical suplex. Come back from a second break. JD hits a brainbuster, then a moonsault off the off the top for a big near fall. And the crowd is going pretty wild for these near falls. And Ilya just makes his comeback with the Torpedo Moscow, bouncing off the ropes, hits the powerbomb and an H-bomb to keep JD down, sending him back to Raw in 16 minutes and 37 seconds. Excellent match that these two ended up having.
Really tremendous match and the best match on the show. And I think they got the crowd going from complete crickets, because I think in large part because they don't know what the entrance music is. And we're going to see that again in the Royal Rumble, as we always do, with the Def Rebel themes. So JD didn't really get any kind of reaction on his entrance, but they got the crowd on side through.
They did have to work for them, but when they got them, like, this crowd was really into this match. So they got plenty of time here. And, you know, come January, this match might have been 40 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah, with
five
commercial breaks. But no, a really good match. And I was watching live tonight, so I got the commercial break stuff as well. And they did slow down, as they always do in the breaks, a little bit, but not too much. And I think as an entirety, this really was a very good wrestling match. These two are very good together, and I think they're well used to one another, as we were reminded. They've had all these matches on the indies, you know, and, you know, Cole, of course, is an expert in all of this these days, you know.
Yeah. Blame this on me being live as I'm watching this, but I tend to fact check Michael Cole quite a lot, because he said this line and I had to look it up. I'm like, how many matches did these two have outside of WWE? The answer is one. They had one match in progress. Every other match they've had was in NXT or NXT UK. So they're not exactly, you know, just reading from the same hymn book throughout their illustrious careers from one another.
Oh, but that's amazing. Because I just kind of assumed, well, he must, someone's fed Cole.
It sounds maybe good. It sounds believable.
They've had dozens of Rev Pro and one match. That's nice to know.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And then we had the dramatic show-long storyline involving Charlotte Flair. I mean, shocking development last Friday, as you were recounting, Neil. Charlotte just can't team up with Rhea Ripley after all the bad blood between them. It's just too much. And she walked away. And this looked to have been all reconciled 3 days later on Raw. But no, we had to squeeze this out for two more hours. So what has happened is Bliss and Io apparently have worked out a meeting where Flair and Rhea meet in this undisclosed location at the Ball Arena, and Flair has been tricked into sitting down with Rhea, and this is an excuse to have a very expensive-looking sit-down one-on-one between these two that would come later on in the show.
Yeah, the production difference between this, the wandering down the corridor and Charlotte entering the room to the eventual sit-down was very marked. We'll get to it.
Kathy Kelly is with Nick Aldis. He's got no update on Cody, just like he had no update on Sheamus. And he walks up to the Vision and explains why Reed is here. The only reason he's in this building is because he's in the Last Time Is Now tournament. But this is my building, and Drew is still not allowed in here. And Heyman says, I respect you, Nick. I told Drew to leave because I respect the suspension you gave him. And Reed doesn't need any help in his match with Carmelo Hayes, which would prove to be a lie. Yeah. Ilya runs into Tama Tonga. This is the longest drawn out. They are building up Ilya with Ciampa and Ilya with Tama Tonga. And this Tama Tonga one, I feel, is going to outlast the Ciampa one. I think these two are just going to run into each other for like 6 months.
Oh yeah, I mean it started before Ciampa, so I think it's going to finish after Ciampa as well.
Gargano, Ciampa, and Candice LeRae then walk up to Ilya, and we have talked about how much they are trying to get this term jackass over. So Ciampa now has merchandise. He has a shirt that reads "Don't call me jackass." Gargano has a shirt that says "Don't call my best friend jackass." And Candice has a shirt that reads, "Don't call my husband's best friend jackass."
Yeah. They're trying so hard. And of course, Ilya calls him a jackass in this segment as well. So this is kind of a crowd, please, please chant jackass at Ciampa. They did not.
They didn't. But maybe it's a slow burn. I mean, This is a genius marketing move, because of course you've got to buy all three of these shirts together.
Sure. Yeah.
It seems like the only logical move you would make as a fan of this storyline.
I'm just thinking who in my circle gets to wear the "I'm a jackass," who gets to wear the
"Don't call my husband's best friend jackass."
Yeah. That was the trickiest one. Unless I get my brother and sister-in-law involved. Yeah, this is...
It does take some thought, but I think this could be a winner.
I like the sound of that.
Sticky.
Carmelo Hayes and Bronson Reed was next in the Last Time Is Now tournament, involving, people that are not going to be facing Cena in his retirement match. So Hayes had quite the match here with Bronson Reed. He's fighting from underneath for the first half of the match. And then when Reed gets sent to the floor, Bron Breakker and Logan Paul run down. No sight of Nick Aldis. He has like he barks a lot, but there's no bite here to this guy's threats and tactics as general manager. He just lets them run wild here. So Reed is Reed gets back on offense. Hayes lands a super kick and gets tripped by Logan Paul, and then lands a springboard leg drop, leaps over the top into a DDT on the edge of the apron, and hits a frog splash for a two count. Reed catches him with a world's strongest slam, misses with the tsunami. So Hayes hits the first 48 and then a tope con hero onto all members of the Vision. And Hayes leaps off the top, landing a DDT, and Reed responds with this big clothesline, rolling him to the floor. So Braun sees Hayes, and he pulls down the straps, and he's ready to sprint around the ring when all of a sudden, poof, Jey Uso appears, super kicking Braun, who appears with Jimmy, and they fight the Vision into the crowd, and then Wolverine himself pops out of the crowd. It's Cody, and he rams Bronson into the post, crossroads on the floor, and Hayes is rolled into the ring, and he wins by countout in 13 minutes and 49 seconds, as now Carmelo will be sent to slaughter on Monday when he faces Gunther.
I'm afraid so. Although, as you correctly predicted on Rewind or Raw, a win here, but with Reed protected to the maximum.
Yes.
To the point that Carmelo doesn't even get into the ring under his own steam for the countout. Cody has to roll him in. I think that was a touch almost for me a little too far, because the match was very good.
It was very good. It was just at the end, you kind of knew like what this was going to be. They were not going to do Bronson and Gunther on Raw, and yeah, it was just how were they going to get there, because they were not going to allow Carmelo to win on his own power by countout. It was going to have to be, was basically Cody beat Bronson here.
Yeah, so an enjoyable match. I think that, you know, Reed was a great base for the speed and agility of Melo. But fully protected in the end before Cody grabs the mic.
So the last we had seen Cody, it looked like this guy was in a coma, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's remember, this guy got drop kicked into a table, and that took him out to film a movie for a month. But this bus attack, which looked much more vicious, he recovers in an hour. He's back here. He takes out Bronson Reed, and then he gets onto the desk, and he cuts all I can say is a Cody Rhodes promo, which... Yeah.
It means that I'm going to emphasize each word, and I'm going to make jokes.
And he says that he is not done with Drew after all, after thinking he was. He starts to shoot brother because he's using Braun's real name, his real fake last name, Steiner. A Steiner historically is never better than a Rhodes. And then he reminds Brock that I'm the last one to beat you here twice. And that, Heyman, you build them, I'll beat them. And the match beyond is my birthright. So there you had a spirited promo from Cody Rhodes. But it's definitely that Howard Fine school of acting pedigree that comes out in these kinds of performances.
Very much so. He carried, I think I said this last week as well, but Cody can do this. And he seems to have the knack of carrying it off quite convincingly and getting the crowd going. He can do the fiery babyface promo in a way that few can. And I quite enjoy, you know, the little things he slips in there about, you know, my birthright, my damn birthright.
You know, this is my goddamn match that my father got no royalties on. Now that you're making millions off of his idea. Chelsea is hiding from Julia. Julia and Kiana James were on this show for like 15 seconds. That was our follow-up to her U.S. title loss. I don't even know what was said here. She hides in the locker room, and then after they leave, Chelsea comes out, and after setting up that there would be a celebration this week, she reschedules it. Presumably next week, who cares? Jade Cargill shows up and scares Chelsea.
Yeah, this was crap. It was about... In total, maybe 30 seconds involving all of them. And Chelsea hiding in a cupboard. I'm disappointed even to see Kiana and Julia still together at this point. I just want them separated, even if it takes Julia to just turn on Kiana James. And, you know, she needs to go her own way. But there wasn't even enough here to kind of make anything of.
No, at most you would think like Julia gets some rematch on TV, which I would not see her. I would just see Chelsea like escaping with the belt. I don't know. They really need a hard reset on Julia.
Yeah.
So then we just had like an old traditional Survivor Series like promo with the baby faces of Sami Zayn, Motor City Machine Guns, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Rey Fénix. And just like, dude, Sami Zayn was cutting a promo like he was in the Outrunners and pumping up everybody. It's an international coalition with five of the best wrestlers in the world. Saban says that we're all brothers. You know how far back Rey Fénix goes with his man, Chris Sabin. And Sabin says that, oh, well, they lit a fire under the King of Strong style. And then they cut to the old school graphic with the old Survivor Series logo. I did like the fact that they incorporated the nostalgia here for this. And I'm glad it's on SmackDown. I'm not a big fan of the traditional Survivor Series matches, but I can see it being appealing to people on a free television card. And you do your one match and use it for the night before. It makes a lot of sense to do it that way.
I totally agree. Yeah. For a TV match, the night before the PLE. Yeah. And I like this because it wasn't just the, like you said, wasn't just the throwback logo for the Survivor Series match. The promo, Sammy was absolutely channeling, you know, the kind of, you know, the team dynamic, you know, tell him Shinsuke.
All you needed was like Mooney in the middle here with them holding up the microphone. Fraxium against DIY. And the headline of this was not the match, but rather Ciampa getting his old theme back. And then the sounds of Rebel Heart to Johnny Gargano coming out. And this man has gotten a reprieve from the music gods in WWE. I also listened to this. I'm like, this is such a babyface theme. And these guys are just nondescript heels on this show, but hey, it certainly beats, like, I couldn't even tell you what their old theme was. That's how like nondescript it was to me. So this a major, and we've seen Gunther changing his music up, and now these ones as well. So it does make you wonder of the state of some of these themes, which have certainly been heavily criticized. And I think you hit the nail on the head earlier talking about like the Royal Rumble the last few years, when it really hits you when you've got to hear like 60 entrances between the men's and women's matches and how many themes do not stand out to people. That was a big criticism I had at last year's Rumble. And I thought maybe I'm just going to be the outlier here. And I got a lot of feedback from people who thought the exact same thing.
Oh, definitely. It really changes the dynamic, because we're used to knowing what the themes are of everyone, and particularly those who are in stables, where we don't get their individual themes that often. And some of the ones in this year's Royal Rumble were just, what the hell is this? You know, it's kind of just generic rock tracks 10.mp4, you know. Although I will say, just before this match, Fraxium were out to their stacking them, smashing them thing.
Way's favorite. So yeah, I guess there's give and take when it comes to these themes. So there's a sequence of dives early on by Fraxium, and then Axiom gets worked over until they come back from break. Fraser is in. This guy is so goddamn fast. He's in there with Gargano, and he's just going at lightning speed. Misses with the Fénix splash, and then gets caught in a shatter machine. So we got FTR referencing DIY on Dynamite, and then the reciprocal here in this match. Ciampa pulls down his knee pad and catches Axiom coming off the top with a knee strike. There's an assisted fairy tale ending. Fraser's in for the save, and then a one-man Spanish fly hit by Axiom onto Gargano, and Fraser goes for this tope con hero. He had a rough landing on the floor here. Mm-hmm. We never saw him again. And Candace gets onto the apron, ripping off Axiom's mask, allowing Gargano to pin Axiom, which obviously will take us to Axiom versus Candice LeRae, hair versus mask. I think
it must be. Yes, apparently A-Kid has been horribly disfigured because Graves was absolutely taken aback by what he saw when this mask came off. But we did, with TV viewers, didn't really get to see anything. But he said the man was hideous. Very good match. I love Fraxium. You know, they work so well together. Nathan Frazier is a phenomenon. The speed at which this guy pinballs around the ring. So I enjoyed this. I didn't love the finish because it's just a pure, this feud must continue. I think we see these teams pair up again, but I wouldn't complain too much. And at this point in the show, I was thinking, we're getting an awful lot of good wrestling on this episode of SmackDown. There really hasn't been a clunker yet.
This was one of the better SmackDown shows when it came to wrestling. Like, there was nothing terrible about this. The finish here, I'm not complaining that these four, at least if they're going to be in this kind of tag team abyss, at least if the four of them are involved in this, Ciampa's doing his thing with Ilya, you're going to get some good wrestling out of that. And they're hitting their golden season. It's tag season coming up in January. So we'll see what the revival is like for this tag division.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Hello. Braden Harrington here from Up Next. You can catch us live every Tuesday here at Post Wrestling as we cover NXT. But if you search Poison Rana in your YouTube or podcast app or social media of choice, you can check out all the other wrestling content that we create, podcasts, and so much more. Visit poisonrana.ca and keep it lit.
But now it is time for the sit down, the most expensive segment on SmackDown on Friday night. Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, and God knows how much of a production team that was attached to this. This looked like your most slickly thrown together impromptu meeting of two individuals set to have a wrestling match together next weekend. Rhea explains that, what went down between us, it's in the past, and it was to prove who was the best. And I'm willing to put it all aside. Charlotte, I've always respected you. And people have asked me who I would go to war with. And would I go to war with you? I would. And Charlotte just stands up, says, yes, I trust you too, and shakes on it. It's like, that's it? That was it?
I was waiting because
there was no rebuttal from Charlotte. It was just like, okay, you had me at hello.
I had to think this was cut down in some way because Charlotte's response didn't even really make sense.
It didn't. She just said yes. And I was like, yes to what? She didn't ask you a question.
I think she said yes and then yes, you can. She may have had four words, but the production, the number of camera cuts, the background music, and this was all, of course, meant to just completely follow on from the two of them being left behind by the other women earlier in the show. I don't know.
I just the story of the past week, I can't team with you, and she was pretty much by Monday I could team with you, and then we had to go through this. It's like yeah, I kind of told you on Monday I would team with you. We didn't have to go through all of this all of these hoops on this show, but hey, it ate some time up. So maybe one day WWE Vault will release the whole uncensored sit down between Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, and we'll get her answer in context. Cena, they have been showing highlights of this interview that Tom Rinaldi did. That's got to be like a 5-hour sit down that he did, probably just as expensive as the last one we saw, that they keep promising will be released. Well, Michael Cole said it will be released the week of his final, right before the retirement match. So I don't know what's left. I feel like I've seen this entire interview because they've showed clips of it on every single show, but more to come. He talked here about basically a true story, how he basically saved his job rapping on the tour bus and then having to explain what freestyle rapping is to Stephanie, who couldn't fathom how he memorized all these things. And Cena explained how freestyling works and how he did that off the top of his head and saved his career. Like, it was not an exaggeration that this guy could have been cut at that time in 2002 had this character not come along for him. And he ran with it, and things turned out okay for John Cena. Finn Balor and Penta was our final match of the show and the last opening round match in the Last Time Is Now tournament. And brace for it, folks. After we go through this recap, we have brackets. So Penta hits a Tope Con Hero. Crowd is getting behind Penta, and he hits a super kick to Balor. right by the middle turnbuckle. And then he gets up Balor in this weird setup for the muscle buster. It's like, it's what he hit, but it was at this weird angle where he had like one arm to the side. Goes for the Penta driver. It's countered. And then Balor misses with the coup de grace, kicks out of La Magistral cradle, and then takes the Penta driver, kicks out of that, and Penta finishes him with the Mexican destroyer. So Penta is in to the second round. He will take on Solo Sikoa on Monday.
Yeah. Another very solid match on this show. But hard not to compare it with, you know, Balor's compatriot from Bray, County Wicklow, Ireland, McDonagh, who had a, you know, much better match earlier on. But not on the same level, really. But yeah, two very solid wrestlers with a good match.
So we're going to get... So on one side of the brackets, it's Solo Sikoa and against Penta and Gunther against Carmelo Hayes. Those matches will take place on Raw. And then I believe both of these are SmackDown next week. It's Rusev against Jey Uso and LA Knight against the Mystery Man that will replace Sheamus. So
yeah, I believe we were told is that Aldis and Pierce are talking about it. We're talking about what to do.
Well, we know it's not going to be Nakamura, who Sheamus beat. He's not going to be able to just take this. I mean, that would kind of make logical sense, but I feel they're just going to throw some mystery person in here.
Obafemi's name has been popping up on social media, I noticed tonight, but I think that's just, it's possible, but I think it's just sort of fan wish list stuff rather than based in anything logical.
They still have time to get Jun Kasai.
Who knows?
They'll do it. Then the MFTs got to do their Survivor Series promo. This was not as much of a throwback. Solo says that Penta's time is up. My time is now. And he's going to make an example out of Sami Zayn. They don't stand a chance. He's going to put Zayn away for good. And from there, we got like our millionth plug for the University of Colorado. I can't fathom that they weren't getting some kind of tourism dollars because they pumped the hell out of this football game that's taking place on Saturday.
That was my note at this point. I didn't take any notes on the previous ones, and I was kind of, and I wrote, we get our billionth University of Colorado promo. It's money has got to have changed hands for
when you're doing site fees. This is the kind of stuff that you're going to be looking out for, and it's, hey, we can promote your local like events and make it part of like the tourism pitch to all of these places. Like, look at the advertising we're going to give you. So yeah, this was all over the place on this show. So
yeah. One quick rewind to is another slight production complaint. If you like, seconds after Penta wins, we have the multi-camera background music produced MFT promo with, you know, Solo doing the clap and the well done Penta at the beginning. So we're led to believe that was live, although even though it was intercut with like clips of
this was Sora.
Devastating maneuvers. Yeah, Sora must have been involved in this somehow.
Good storyline, good narrative.
Thanks, Mark.
Final segment of the night. Did they mention once that they were going to reveal the fifth partner? I feel like this whole show was going. I'm like, how are they ending this show? Because they didn't promote any main event. You knew this Penta and Balor match wasn't going a half hour. And then all of a sudden they're walking backstage and they're like, when we come back, the fifth member to be revealed.
I think they mentioned very early on when Charlotte and Alexa were walking down the corridor before they go into the room that they still need a fifth member. But I don't think they teased that's
coming up on the show.
You're going to get that.
Like, unless I missed it, I could have missed it, but I didn't hear once because I'm watching this whole show wondering like, what's the main event segment on this show? Mm-hmm. So the four come out, and it is just all smiles and hugs. Everyone is best friends. Rhea explains how united they are. Just huge. Now that the hatchet has been buried, we find out who's real and who's fake. And you make sure you're going to war with the right people. We might not be the best of friends with Bliss and Flair, but we can trust them, and they can trust us. But we need a fifth member. And that brings out AJ Lee, who flew from New York all the way from Denver to come out and thus watch her friends, her newfound friends, all get jumped by the heels who were ready. They didn't know either what the main event segment was, but they were ready just in case. So they jumped the four in the ring, and AJ, concerned, runs down the aisle and gets blindsided by Becky Lynch, who reveals herself to be the fifth member of the heel unit. Rhea gets outnumbered, hits with an annihilator, and then Becky enters the ring, shaking hands with Asuka, and thus we have our five-on-five women's match that Michael Cole calls the most star-studded in history.
In history. Everything has to be, you know, the most in history.
He knew how to speak in sound bites.
That's the last one. That's the last one. I'm going to drive Neil crazy here.
No, I enjoy it. I mean, it was if we got some build to this, I think it would have been a little better, but it was a good show closing angle.
You got like the surprise of AJ showing up and everything. So they got, you know, you did the men's go home segment on Monday. This one, you got the women's, and now you pretty much have, I would imagine, most of, if not the whole card for Survivor Series. Like, we have four matches. The question will be if they tack on a fifth, because obviously the War Games are going to take up a significant amount of time, knowing the WWE's pacing. Yes. That this will take up probably 2.5 hours between these two matches with everything that will be involved.
I remembered from last year, you know, at least one of the matches when the bell went for the match beyond, thinking, what? Haven't we had 40 minutes already or something?
See, they did go with five matches last year, so we'll see what happens. They certainly have programs that are there to be added if need be, but you could certainly do a
I wonder match. Were they, and my timing may be way off, but I wonder, were they on the cusp of the sort of five-match PLE at that point, whether that came shortly after last autumn? I'm not certain whether that was something that really sort of took shape after Royal Rumble this year, but I've been all for it, I have to say. We'll see. But I think these will be long matches.
Overall thoughts on SmackDown? I think that this was, you know, a fairly strong edition of SmackDown, I thought, overall. I wasn't the biggest fan of all the Rhea Charlotte stuff throughout the show. But the wrestling-wise, yeah, you got like four like good to very good matches on the show, led by Ilya and JD McDonagh, who took up like 17 minutes right there. And that was well worth the watch on Friday.
It really was. It was an excellent match. So I think from a wrestling point, from an in-ring point of view, it's the best SmackDown I've seen in a long time. By SmackDown standards, which are lower than Raw and have been for a few months at the very least, this was a cut above, I think. Certainly better than last week's and the week before, as it should be in the build-up to a PLE. And I think perhaps, you know, given that they're on site for the recording of next week's, you know, we can expect more build, more AJ Lee perhaps.
Where's your kind of thought on just the build-up for Survivor Series with a week to go?
I think it's been decent. They've had to hit the accelerator a little bit with the women's, but it's now, you know, now that it's taken shape and we see the Becky and AJ Lee, which is a good fit, you know, because they're rivals, being injected into it. It feels okay. As you said, the will they, won't they sort of partnership between Rhea and Charlotte has not really landed. It just hasn't really made a lot of sense in some ways, but I suppose they had to fill a bit of time. And I think likewise on the men's side, it's shaped up well. They've got the big names in at the end, like they did on Raw, to fill out the teams. So, yeah, they've got there.
Well, Neil and I are going to say goodbye to everyone on the YouTube stream, but we're going to continue on the Post Wrestling Cafe with your feedback and questions. Before we say goodbye on YouTube, I also do want to give a mention that Brian Zillum, who you might know from his work at the Pro Wrestling Torch, he's done an article on the site that you can check out now. It's called Behind the Curtain, Wrestling's Crisis of Performer Safety and Human Trafficking Awareness, kind of looking at pro wrestling's response to a lot of these stories and allegations that we've heard over the last number of years, and sort of what are the safeguards in place? What are some of the structures in a lot of these companies of just avenues to go through? And how has the industry responded to some of these more prominent issues that circulate the industry? It seems like we wait for something terrible to happen or some kind of lawsuit to come out of it, but then kind of things go quiet and we don't really talk about like what has been learned from all of these things. So I found it to be a really interesting read, just looking at like just the state of the response to all of these issues. Everyone can agree that these are problems, but what have we learned from this?
Me too. It's a very good piece, and it's highlighted at the top of the site in the recommended carousel, so you can click into it quite easily.
All right, so you can check out all of that. And again, we're back Saturday night following Full Gear. So roughly midnight Eastern time to be determined. Whatever time that they go off the air, we will be live.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.